give it a second. You'll see.
Look at my golden hair.
Called that, didn't I?
Hey, I'll flip for you. Yeah, I'll flip for you.
This wall is magical. You can't touch me. You play for the devil. Got something to tell y'all. Hey, where are you going?
I accept that I'm big, okay?
I get it. And happy sidewalk day. Hope your sidewalking's happy. So you're pregnant?
What?
You're acting like you're pregnant. Just let it be what it is.
Hey, Granny Maple's garden game is sick. Look how I dig this little hole. Uh-huh. Nah, dropping the seeds.
Look at the little seeds. You're fired. Not you, buddy.
Yeah, I think we can let go.
But I don't want to let go yet.
Okay.
I just want to stay right here.
Yeah, you know, well.
Because it feels really nice.
I was thinking, you know, I might need to leave.
You know, I used to go home and just throw gravel at my grandparents in bed.
Oh, hey, friend. Good morning.
What was your most awfulest date?
It was in the rainforest. I went there a couple of times. So I was in love, and I found this perfect place, and then I built a wicker hut for us, but the platform was kind of frail, and it broke when she was in there, and you could hear her sobs. I mean, it was a really silly way for her to die way out there.
That's a pretty awful date.
Yeah.
Hey, ho, bonk, 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 bonk.
All right, welcome to Super Bowl Sunday, Northwoods Way. Now, this is special baptism day. And we thought rather than having a couple tanks up here on stage like we normally do, we're going to set up our own Super Bowl. And we're going to see people get baptized in the Super Bowl today as they come and follow Jesus Christ. You know, if you're a fan of football, all eyes are going to be trained on Houston later this afternoon and the Super Bowl going on there. Who's going to win that game? But listen to me, far more important in God's eyes is what's happening in this Super Bowl at Northwoods today. Amen? And so right now, again, let's just welcome our other campuses. Galesburg's with us, and I know earlier today, Chile and Princeton and Canton and our online family. Give it up for all them on Super Bowl Sunday. Because they're having Super Bowl as well. And did you all get your funky chunky, huh? Good stuff. Did you get that? Some of you are going, okay, some of you got it. If you missed it, there's some funky chunky out there for you. We wanted you to kind of make it like football in here. You could be eating something. By the way, since it's Super Bowl Sunday, we're also going to do a little Super Bowl trivia. And I've got a couple of other treats to hand out. Old Russell Stover, if some of you want some of that. Okay, you get the question right. And we'll give you some Russell Stover. I don't know if he played football, but he's really helped make for a couple of 300-pound linemen. And so he fits in here. And so anyway, you guys at the other campuses, go ahead so everybody gets a little fun at your place as well. Now, if you know the answer, you jump. If I see you, don't shout it out. I'll point to you. You give me the right answer, and you get some Russell Stover. Here we go. Number one, which team has won the most Super Bowls? A, the Patriots. How did you know that? It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have won how many? Six. There we go. Share that with the crowd, okay? All right. 2010, February 2011 for the 2010 season, it was the Packers versus the Steelers. Who was the MVP of that game? A, Aaron Rodgers. B, Ben Roethlisberger. Hey, you got it. Are you a Packer fan? There you go. All right. Give that Packer fan some Russell Stovers back there. I got to watch up top, too. I see if I can wing one up there. All right. Number three. Which team won the first two Super Bowls? Yeah, Packers. Are you noticing a theme here? The Packers won the first two. And by the way, before they were Super Bowls, they cleaned up in the 60s with about another five titles. That's why it's called Title Town. All right, number four. Which team has lost the most Super... Big guy out back. Nope. Nope. Broncos have lost the most Super Bowls. All right, Daryl, there you go. Yeah, you know why people say the Bills, they lost four in a row. Yeah, you sit down. You've lost the most. The Bills lost four in a row. Nobody else has done that. Vikings have lost four. But Broncos have been there eight times, and they're 3-5. They've lost five. So, which team has the most Super Bowl appearances? Dude, did you know I was going to ask that? You snuck in here last service, didn't you? Come on, run it all the way back here. Hey, this is kind of cool because there's four teams right now tied with eight. Broncos have been there eight times, they're 3-5. Steelers have been there eight times, they're 6-2. Cowboys have been there eight times. I think they're like 4-4. Huh? What are they, Tom? You're 5-3, I believe. But the Patriots, as of tonight, take over the top spot with 9 appearances. Way to go, New England. All right. Number 6. What is the largest margin of victory in a Super Bowl game? Or we could say biggest. My Bronco fan, help me out. What is it? He knows the score. Yeah. Super Bowl 24, 1990. The Broncos got blown out by the 49ers, 55-10. It would take a Bronco to know that. So here we go. He needs some Russell Stover to kind of mend. All right, buddy, good job. That's amazing. All right, now since most of you love commercials, I was going to bring a couple of my favorite commercials, but we'll do that another time. How much will a 30-second commercial cost in today's Super Bowl?
$50 million.
Not 50. $5 million. And so, you guys really appreciate this. The leadership of Northwoods Community Church made a strategic decision that we are not going to advertise in the Super Bowl tonight. Isn't that cool? Come on, give it up for our winners today. Enough of that. Let's talk about the Super Bowl that really counts. And you guys that got all that candy, you go ahead, open it up. You can share it with all the people in your role. But listen, keep the caramels for me, all right? All those other cream-filled things, give to everybody else. All right. But just so you understand the incredible privilege that is ours today, if you grew up under the Old Testament covenant, there were only a few people that could actually, like, get close to God. You had to be from the priestly family. And we're going to bring up a picture here that shows you kind of a rendition, a modern-day rendition, of what the holy place looked like. And so that little tent there was the holy place, and inside was the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies one time each year on the Day of Atonement to pray for the forgiveness of all the people's sins. But you had to be a part of the priestly family to even go into that tent. Otherwise, you're just kind of one of the common folks, could go there. Now, if you were getting ready to go serve at the holy place, you notice that big square there in the courtyard, that was the altar. And you had to stop there, first of all, and sacrifice a calf or a sheep. You would sacrifice for your own sins and for the sins of the people, foreshadowing the time when Jesus, who is called the Lamb of God, would be the permanent, all-time sacrifice, so that now when we approach his holy place, we don't have to sacrifice animals because Jesus stands as our sacrifice once for all. Amen. Now, again under the old covenant, you would leave the place of sacrifice, and you'd see that next thing sitting there between the altar and the holy place. That was a Super Bowl. That was the bronze bowl filled with water. So I would stop and make sacrifice for my sin. Then I had to go to the Super Bowl, and I had to wash my hands and wash my feet, signifying that I could only go into the holy place after I have been cleansed. Yes, forgiven through the sacrifice, cleansed through the water, and now I can go into the holy place. But with Jesus, that all changed. Under the new covenant, all of us who become followers of Jesus are now called priests of the Most High God. If you're a follower of Jesus today, that is your identity. You are a priest in His family. And you exist to worship Him and to serve Him. And so we get the high honor and privilege of drawing near to Him anytime, because now we don't go into an earthly tabernacle. We get to enter into the heavenlies by just lifting our spirit at any time and going straight in to the presence of God in the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle in heaven. And nothing can keep us out. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is the eternal sacrifice for our sins, and we have been washed through His blood. Therefore, we no longer need to bring a sacrifice to the altar, because Jesus has become our sacrifice. That happened the moment you came to the cross and you said, "Jesus, I believe You died for me. I want You to be my permanent sacrifice." Okay? But this whole idea of going to the Super Bowl where I could be washed is now the picture of baptism in the New Testament, where one time, after I put my faith in Jesus, I go through the baptismal waters to say to all that my sins are now buried with Jesus. I have died with Him to sin, my sins are buried on the bottom of that pool, and I have been raised to newness of life so that I can go into the presence of God 24/7 anytime I want and find grace and mercy to help me in my time of need. Is this good news or what? Through faith in Jesus, we now stand forgiven and free. Our names are written in the one record book that counts, and we are MVPs in God's kingdom. Guys, you can't get any higher than that. Someone from one of these teams today that are playing in the Super Bowl, he's going to walk away with his name etched in the record book as MVP of Super Bowl 51. And that'll be great for a while. But ultimately, the years will go by, and I'm going to tell you something. The achievements of tonight will be lost in the dustbin of history. I'm going to tell you, 20 years from now, if we're still here, and we look back to Super Bowl 51, and we say, who is the MVP? Probably aren't going to be a whole lot of people who know, and far less people who care. Why? Because that's what happens to our achievements and our trophies here on this earth. That's why it's amazing to think that your name can be etched in the one record book that counts for all time and eternity, the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can become an MVP recipient in the kingdom of God. See, you've always wanted to be someone special. I'm telling you, you can't get any higher than that. Etched in my memory, way back in my early childhood days, is the aura that I would sense every time I walked into the lobby off of the old gymnasium of our high school. There was something about that, because there in all of those trophy cases was the hardware from our storied athletic history, the Archibald Blue Streaks. And then up above the trophy case were these pictures all the way back to guys in the 1920s and the 30s and the 40s, and these pictures of the best athletes that had ever played at our high school. If you received all Ohio honors, your senior picture went up above the trophy case, and you were like immortalized in Archbold's athletic lore for good. And so, guys, I remember from the time that I was 6 or 7 years old and I was starting to attend varsity basketball games, I knew that there above the trophy case, that was the most significant accomplishment one could ever attain in our town. To have your picture up above that trophy case. And from the time I was 6 or 7 years old, I began to dream of the day that maybe my picture would go up there, proving that I was a somebody. And my picture would be there for all to see. By the time I was 9 years old, my oldest brother Dave went up because he went to the state track and field finals in the 880-yard dash, both his junior and senior year. And man, I loved being able to take people in there and go, there's my brother. And then I would say, and one day, my picture is going to be up there too. So, you can understand what a day it was for me when following my junior year of basketball, I was named to the All-Ohio team, honorable mention All-Ohio. That meant my picture was going to go up above the trophy case. I would be immortalized forever. Pretty cool. And so, when I was taking my senior pictures early in the fall of my senior year, it was during a time when people were starting to take all kind of funky pictures hanging from trees. They got their cats and their dogs and their horses and their senior picture with them. This guy was going, uh-uh. I can tell you what I was thinking when I was taking my senior picture. This big old mug is going up above the trophy case. No dogs, no cats, no horses, just this baby right here is going up in that trophy case. Is that cool or what? And if you could see down here in this corner, Calvin Rickner, all Ohio basketball. And then some guy screwed it up because I was all Ohio 1976 and 1977. They only have 1977 on here. Get it right. It's my picture. And some of you are sitting there going, well, Cal, that was supposed to be up above the trophy case. What are you doing with it? Well, let me tell you the sad saga. This little boy here spent 18 years dreaming of the day he would get his picture up above the trophy case. I graduated, and my picture went up for 1 week. And then some knucklehead administrator decided that we were getting too many pictures up there. What with the proliferation of girls' athletics, we're getting a bunch of girls all Ohio. He was going, we're going to run out of room with all these pictures. So they took them all down, mailed them to us or our families, and now our names are just etched on some crazy board somewhere that nobody cares about and nobody even sees anymore. How's that? I became a somebody, and in 1 week it came down. I became a nobody. After working for 18 years to get my picture, can I hear you all go, oh. Huh? You feel my pain, don't you? Now it's just collecting dust up in a box in the attic. Guys, it reminded me of a story told by author and speaker James Dobson. Kind of the same type of deal. He's at college, Point Loma Nazarene College in San Diego. He has the opportunity to play in this city tournament to become the best tennis player in the city. And while he's in college, he wins that award. He gets a big old trophy, James Dobson. It goes in the trophy case at their college, immortalized forever. 15 years later, one of his friends calls him up and says, James, I was by our old college the other day, and you're not going to find what I found out behind one of the administrator's offices in a dumpster. He came by a little bit later and unwrapped this deal, and there it was. He had refurbished James Dobson's championship trophy, now in a dumpster. And James has told the story many times and holds up that trophy and says this very poignant statement: live long enough and someone will trash your trophies. Live long enough, and life will trash your trophies. So tell me, who was MVP of Super Bowl IV That's hanging in somebody's house today. How about Super Bowl 6 or 7 or 10? And nobody knows. Holy cow, some of you, we could tell you the name and you go, I never heard of them. Live long enough and life will trash your trophies. And it's not that you shouldn't want to be the best you can be at whatever you do. It's not that a player shouldn't want to win an MVP. But it is to say that we make a huge mistake when we live only for the trophies of this life. Those trophies will ultimately end up in the dustbin, in the dumpsters of history. In the end, the only thing that will count is was your name in the one book that matters as one of God's MVPs. Amen. God wants to grant you a status in His kingdom that will stand for time and eternity and signify to all that you were an MVP recipient in His book. And so I want to highlight very quickly, just three critical aspects to what it means to be an MVP in God's kingdom and how you can become that today if you haven't already become one of His MVPs. Aspect number one, God wants to give you, you can receive God's mercy in your life. That's the M on His MVP trophy. And it starts there. When you receive mercy from God, you receive the forgiveness of all your sins. You get released from all the eternal consequences of your sins. You become an heir to eternal life. You get to live under His favor and blessing for time and eternity. This is why the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1, and verses 3 to 5. Now, guys, on each one of these verses today, you're going to see the word I'm highlighting. You say it along with me when we get there. But look at what Peter says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Stop there. The moment you put your faith in Jesus and that fact that He died on the cross for you and rose again from the grave, look what you get new birth. You become a new creation spiritually, alive forevermore, into a living hope, which means you have hope while you live, and look at this, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. Guys, again, you can't do any better than that. A living hope now, an inheritance when this life is over that's kept for you. The Apostle Paul picks this up, the mercy of God, and he says in Ephesians chapter 2, that before you ever came to Christ, if you've not given your life to Jesus yet, this is true of you. You were dead in your sins and your trespasses when you followed the kingdom of this world. You were following Satan without even knowing you were following. You followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, referring to Satan and his kingdom. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, is by grace you have been saved. Guys, what this is saying is I deserved the judgment of God, but when He offered me mercy, if I put my faith in Him, I received that M on the MVP. I received mercy. Okay? And I love how somebody has described this. Mercy keeps me from what I do deserve. The flip side of the coin, grace gives me what I don't deserve. So let's say that I was on my flying down the road sometime this week. Didn't happen, but I was flying down the road and a policeman pulled me over. I'm as guilty as sin. I was speeding. I deserve the $150 ticket that I think is coming. He comes up to my car, good day, sir. Hey, you were going a little bit fast, but you know what? I'm just going to give you a warning. You know what that's called? Mercy. I didn't get what I deserved to get. Then he sees my grandbabies in the car. He says, hey, they look a little hungry. Here, have a $20 bill and take them to get something to eat. You know what that's called? That's grace. It gives me something I didn't deserve. Here's what I'm saying, guys. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, God lavishes on you both mercy and grace. And you can become a recipient of both today. Put your faith in Jesus and then come and declare your faith through baptism as a way of saying, I am trusting Jesus Christ alone for his mercy today, for the complete washing away of my sin, for the washing away of my past guilt and shame, for eternal life and favor with God. That can be yours through faith in Jesus today. That's the M on the MVP trophy. Aspect number two is the V. You can receive God's victory in your life today. Not just his mercy, you can receive his victory in your life today. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you receive his victory over sin, over hell, over death. Guys, this is far bigger than winning a Super Bowl. No, you receive a victory over this world. Why? Because this world is going to go down one day, and if you know Jesus, you're going to go up when the world goes down. You don't have to worry when death comes knocking. Why? Because you're alive forevermore. You've got an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. And so I love my old gospel song says, ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Why? Because I have the victory over sin, over hell, over the grave, through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at what the Bible says here. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5 says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. There's that huper nikao. You're an overcomer. And you're going to overcome the world if you're born of God. That simply means you put your faith in Jesus and you were born again in your spirit. You were born of God. Now watch what it says. This is, what's the word? This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So it's my faith in Jesus that makes me one born of God and gives me victory over the world. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what I put my faith in. It's all about Jesus. He died for me. He rose again. I believe he's the divine Son of God. I've staked my life with him. And the moment I did, my name went in the Lamb's Book of Life. I received mercy and I received victory over this world. That's awesome. Super Bowl victories are great. But listen, their joy lasts only for a few moments and then it's on to next year. Jesus wants to give you a victory that will last for eternity. It's a victory over everything this world can throw at you. It's a victory, as I said, over sin, over hell, over the grave. And the Apostle Paul, in celebrating that victory, says in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, look at this. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to know for sure today that you have won the victory. Because you put your faith in the one who gives you the victory. You can be a recipient of his mercy. You can be a recipient of his victory. And then there's the P. This is what it means to be an MVP in his kingdom. I've received mercy. I've received victory. I've received power. Look at this. You can receive God's power in your life, power to live a new life, power to walk in freedom, power to be the person God wants you to be. And yes, as long as you live, you will need daily power because there will always be more temptations to overcome, weaknesses to overhaul, and sins to overthrow. But through his power, you can live a transformed life. Look at this. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, his divine what? Power, look, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That is everything we need to live the life God called us to live has been given to us by the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit. And we receive that power, we receive his Spirit the moment we put our faith in Jesus and surrender our lives to him. Had a friend tell me one time, I thought, he's ready to come to Christ. He just kept, Kel, I'm not there yet. I said, what's keeping you back? He said, I just don't think I can live the life. I said, let me help you out. You can't live the life, because until you give your life to Jesus, that is when you get the power to live the life that Jesus Christ wants you to live. Here's what I'm telling you today, guys. Apart from the joy and fulfillment that comes only through a relationship with Jesus and through knowing that you're a recipient of God's mercy, his victory, and his power, you will ever be seeking and never finding. You could even be winning Super Bowls and coming up empty. How many of you have heard the name? Deion Sanders, prime time. And he says, he himself said, that the moment he won his very first Super Bowl was the emptiest night in his life, because he realized that what he thought would fulfill was still leaving him empty. Watch the screens.
Deion is the only man in history to play in both the Super Bowl and the World Series. He dominated both sports for more than a decade, earning himself two Super Bowl rings and a spot in the Hall of Fame.
When I won my first Super Bowl,
what did you do?
I was the first one on the bus, first one to bed. I didn't even go to party. It was something missing inside, man. It wasn't fulfilling as I thought it was. It wasn't about the things, the outward things, because I had power, money, and sex, but it wasn't fulfilling. Shortly after that, I had to just come to the Lord with my hands up, say, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. You got me. I give up. God, you take me.
So, like, all of that power, money, sex didn't empty. Give you what your faith has.
Empty. Emptiness.
There's a great power to being able to achieve amazing things and yet hold them so lightly because you have something far more precious.
That's it.
And, you know, we share a faith together. You know, it's like a backbone to me as well. And it's like all the achievements and the summits and they're nothing compared to, right. You know, that something inside. And I totally see it in you.
It has to be something bigger than you that you're working for, that you're living for. If it's all about you, you've already lost.
Is that awesome or what, guys? Is that awesome? You can go online, you can go on YouTube, you can watch his induction speech into the Hall of Fame. And man, when he gets up there, he just says, thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus Christ, I love you. Because what he is saying is, I searched this world. All the trophies in this world couldn't fulfill me until I came to the cross of Jesus Christ and found my life as one of his MVPs in his kingdom. That's awesome. Friends, years from now, it's not going to matter who won the 2017 Super Bowl. It's not going to matter who the MVP of the game was. It's not going to matter how successful you were in your life at what you did. And I hope you're successful. But there is coming a day when you will stand before God and he's going to ask, why should I let you into my heaven? And there's only one answer that's going to give you entrance. And that is because I trusted Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for my sin. I was baptized, having my sins washed away. I became one of his MVPs. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God's going to say, that's it. You come on in, because you really are one of my MVPs. Why wouldn't you want that? My whole life and eternity changed the day I understood these simple basics and put my faith in Jesus. The same is true for many, many others here who have put you've put your faith in Christ. And oh, sure, sometimes we've stumbled and we've fallen, and we'll have more growing to do until we get home to heaven. But deciding to follow Jesus is the one decision that matters most for time and eternity. I love the excerpt from Bill Hybels' book, Simplicity, in which he asks this sobering question: do you ever stop and wonder where you are likely to spend your final days on this planet? No one knows when or where they will die, but statistically, there's a good chance it will be in a hospital room. There's a good chance you'll spend your final hours flat on your back in a hospital bed surrounded by electronic monitors, IV poles, and the like. He says, because I'm a pastor, I've been in hundreds of such rooms. I pull up a chair, I sit next to people who are right up against the finish line, sometimes in their final hours. He said, I've been through this drill many times and I know how it goes. The pattern seldom varies. First, though, let me tell you what never happens. In all the bedside vigils I've attended, I have never once heard a person say, hey, can you bring me that award plaque I got for volunteering at the Park District? It's hanging on the wall in my rec room. Bring it here so I can gaze at it and remember how everyone applauded for me. Hey, bring that big picture off the wall above the trophy case so I can look at it and remember what it felt like to be a somebody until somebody took it down and made me a nobody. They don't say that. Nor has anyone ever asked me to go to the bank and withdraw a suitcase full of their hard-earned cash and bring it to them. No one has ever said, just lay it here on my chest. I want to just hold my money near my heart as I expire. No one has ever asked me to take their fancy new BMW to the car wash and park it outside their hospital room window. No one has ever said, get it all cleaned up, give it a nice wax, and then put it outside so I can gaze upon it as I take my final breath. No one has ever asked me to run to their lawyer's office and bring them a copy of their company's most recent financial statement. No one has ever said to me, I worked so hard for that business, I just want to read over the financials one last time. He says, these simply aren't the conversations that happen near the end of life. No, he said, when people are nearing death, do you want to know what they talk about? Two things. One, whether or not they're right with their families. And two, this one trumps it all, whether they're ready to meet God. 100% of the time, he says, these are the conversations I have with people on their hospital beds. And can I tell you, from over 30 years in the pastorate myself, it's true, because I've had the same conversations many, many times. And the question I have for you today is, why wait until you are flat on your back at the end of your life only to regret the fact that you lived for all the wrong trophies? And now you have no time to rectify that. Why not start today with a crystal clear vision about what really matters, namely a deep commitment to following Jesus and walking out your life here as one of his MVP recipients, living in the daily flow of his mercy, victory, and power. And then that way, when it comes time for your final breath, you'll have no regrets about how you invested your life here as a follower of Jesus Christ, while at the same time having a deep peace and satisfaction of knowing your eternity is secure. As we looked at in that verse, I have an inheritance that is kept in heaven for me that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's mine as clearly as God has stated it. Friend, if you have never surrendered your life to Christ, or you're not sure that you have, then I want to lead you in a prayer of faith today by which you can commit your life to Christ. And then I'm going to ask you to come and make this your Super Bowl weekend and get baptized. And I know some of you have already received Christ. You just never have been baptized and you're coming to do that. Others of you, this is going to be your moment. And don't be afraid. There are going to be many others coming. The church will be applauding you. Listen, if you can't get up the courage to come and stand for Jesus in front of the family of God, how are you going to ever live out there? Amen. You're among friends today. They're going to applaud your coming to Jesus. And I know this may be hitting some of you cold. This is not Kel Rickner trying to twist your arm, trying to help you make a decision that you're not ready to make yet. And we respect the time it may take you to make that decision. We want to do everything we can to help you in any way we can. But if you sense Jesus knocking at the door of your heart today, it's like there's just this compelling voice in there. This is your day. Get it done today. Make your choice for Jesus today. Then you pray this prayer with me right now at all of our campuses, and let this be the day. You in the balcony as well, you come on down. You come on down and let this be. You will never forget it. It was Super Bowl Sunday of 2017 that I went through the Super Bowl professing my faith in Jesus Christ and letting him cleanse me and leave my past on the bottom of that bowl. Make this your day. Will you bow your head and your heart with me? Nobody looking around. This is between you and Jesus. You're not worried about what anybody else is going to think or say, because one day you're going to have to stand before the Master. What are you going to say? Well, I was afraid because I thought somebody else would, you know, wouldn't understand. No, no, no. Jesus died for you. He wants you to be an MVP. He's offering that to you right now. Make this your day. Release your faith and say, Lord Jesus, today I choose you. I admit that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. I believe that you rose again to give me life. So right now, I receive you into my life by faith to be my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you now for giving me new life and making me one of your MVPs, a recipient of your mercy, of your victory, and of your power. And so in Jesus' name, I receive it, I believe it, and it's in his name I pray and say amen. And now I'm going to turn it over to those of you at the other campuses to call people forward who are getting baptized. But right now, guys, I want you all to get on your feet. Those of you who know Christ and are coming to be baptized, those of you who just prayed that prayer and are coming to be baptized, I want you to get up. I'm going to meet you down front. I'm just going to share a few words with you. Then we're going to go and get baptized. If you didn't bring your clothes, don't let that stop you. We've got the shirts. We got the shorts. We got the towels. There are no excuses. We've got you covered. Come on, meet me down here. And as you come, this body is going to cheer you on. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Who's coming today? This is your Super Bowl. This is your Super Bowl. Meet me right down front. God bless you, brother. Come on. Come on from all over the place, up in the balcony. Have you got it done? Are you one of God's MVPs? Come on, church. Give it up. There's more to come. There's more to come. You guys sure over here? Somebody, your heart's going like this. You go, I got to come. Today's my day. How about right in here? Are you all sure you're an MVP of God? Let's go. Come on. Today's your Super Bowl. Don't hold back. How about right here? Everybody sure? You become his MVP? How about over here? Everybody sure? Come on. Look at this. Coming down from the balcony. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I see my man there. Met him 2 weeks ago. Cal, I was at the Christmas production. Never made sense to me. But that night it made sense, and I gave my life to Jesus. I said, how about 2 weeks from now you come get baptized? Here he is. Is that awesome? That's awesome. Okay. Guys, thank you. God is so proud to call you sons and daughters of the Most High God. Priests in his kingdom, MVPs, from here on out. You can't get an award any higher than that. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, listen to this, you will be saved. He didn't say you might be, you got a 10% chance. You will be. Your name is going in the book right now. You will be saved. But this is your confession. And church, I want you to say it along with them, because it's our confession too. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he is Lord. He's over all. But today we're going to make it really personal and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. All right, you ready? Let's say it together. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Do you understand? This is what sets Christianity apart from any other religion. We are not serving a dead ruler who's in the grave. We are serving the one who came claiming to be the only divine Son of God. And he said, I will prove it to you. Take my life and I will be raised up in 3 days. And he won the victory over the grave. And therefore, he can say to you, you're going to win that same victory because I'm going to raise you up over the grave. That's your victory. That's your victory. Is that cool? Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. I'm going up to be with Jesus the moment I take my last breath. And then one day he's going to raise that body out of the grave and I'll be joined together again with a new body. You believe that? I want you to say, I believe Jesus rose from the grave for me. And now you know what's really cool? The Bible says the moment you put your faith in Christ, you transferred your ownership from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Satan lost his hold. Satan lost his grip. You're no longer under his domain. Oh, he wants you to believe it. He's going to try to lie to you. See, next time you do something wrong, see, you're not changed. See, you really don't. You shut his mouth in the name of Jesus. You're going to learn to do warfare against him. But you no longer believe, you no longer belong to him, and we're with our mouths going to renounce him today. Are you ready? Say it with me. In Jesus' name, I now renounce Satan and all of his works, all of his ways, and every assignment he has ever had for me. I reject his lies, and I close the door on any access that I've ever given him in my life. He is no longer my master. I belong to a new master. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the truth. All right. Let's pray. I want you to open your hands like this, just like you're receiving from Jesus. Just open your hands, saying, Jesus, I'm receiving from you now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray now that you will fill every one of these precious sons and daughters with the mighty power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is in them now. But I pray as you go, as they go through these waters of baptism in just a moment, Lord, that this will be a moment of holy baptism with the Holy Spirit. That they, Lord, will know their sonship, their daughterhood in Christ, that they will know they have the power over the enemy, that, God, you will release supernatural gifts in their life to do amazing things for you because you have amazing purposes for them. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that they're going to do it. So, Father, just fill them from the bottom of their feet, top of their head, that they would know they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And we say thank you for that now, Lord. Thank you that they are MVPs in your kingdom. Help them to live from this day forward with all of the power that you've given them. And we'll say thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen. Is this awesome, guys? All right. You see that red light right there?
Hey, Northwoods Online, as Pastor Cal's wrapping up there in the auditorium, I just want to say I'm so glad that you've joined us today for the services, and I hope that you have enjoyed the service and that you've been challenged by Pastor Cal's message. As you can see, those that are getting baptized here in Peoria are going out to get dressed, and so we're sending them out to do that. But first, I want to say, if you made that decision to follow Jesus today for the first time, then on your screen, click that button that says, I said yes to Jesus. Let us know that you've made that decision, and we will celebrate that decision with you and just praise God for that decision, but also we want to follow up with you and help you with your next steps. And one of those next steps, we can send you a New Believer's Bible, and we can help you on your journey and talk through any questions or things that are going on in your life. And we just want to walk through that journey with you. So use the button there on your screen or email yes@northwoods.online so that we can know that you've made a decision and we can follow up with you as well. We are so excited for that. And maybe your next step is baptism. And if you want to come to one of our local campuses, we can arrange for that. Or if you're not close enough to any of our local campuses, just simply send us an email and let us know that you've made a decision that you want to get baptized, and we'll help you with those arrangements and those next steps. At all of our campuses at Northwoods, we believe life is better together when we're connected with others. And we want everyone who attends at Northwoods Online to be connecting with others as well. Maybe that's attending one of our regional campuses, or if that's not possible, we want you to invite those around your circle of influence to join you at Northwoods Online. Attendees at all of our services, we want them to be again attending together in weekend community. Speaking of inviting somebody, next weekend will be a great weekend to invite somebody to join you for coffee or sit on your couch as we have special guest Nick Stumbo joining us for the weekend services. Let me tell you, it's not going to be a service that you would regret at all inviting someone to join you with. So think about who you can be inviting to join you online in your home. If you'd like more information about hosting a Northwoods Online microgroup in your home, send an email to info@northwoods.online, and we'll get you some information about how you can do that, what that looks like, and who you can be inviting. There may be other online attendees also that we're aware of in your area that you can invite into your home and join you together for a microgroup each weekend for the services. Now, quickly, before we get you back to baptisms, Bobby talked today about Love Accelerated. That's the couple's dinner coming up on Valentine's Day. Let me tell you, this is going to be an awesome evening. Natalie and I are going to be there. I want you to join us if you can. If you're near the Peoria campus and you can do that, then make plans to do that. Check out northwoods.church/marriage, and you can get more information about the Love Accelerated dinner and teaching on Valentine's Day. Well, it looks like they're getting everybody ready to go here in the auditorium. I want to get you back up to the front. I look forward to seeing you again next weekend here at Northwoods Online. Have a great week, and stick around for the baptisms.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's my King. That's my Lord. Celebrate.
Unstoppable God.
You want to do what you want.
Shout in this place for what God has done today. Praise God. Awesome stuff. We never get tired of seeing God move in people's lives. Let's just thank Him together. Father, we want to say thank you again for this Super Bowl on Super Bowl weekend, a Super Bowl that matters. As people, we're calling on you, and by faith in Jesus, taking their stand in your death, in your burial, in your resurrection, leaving their past on the bottom of this pool. We thank you, Lord, for the washing of baptism and the faith which it signifies. And I pray, Father, that you will live strongly, powerfully in every life that named you and all of our campuses today. Lord, let them know they belong to you. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. Again, Lord, we say thank you for the work that you're doing. We ask for more, more, more in Jesus' name. And come on, guys, give up a shout of praise again. Thank him for what he's done. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.